In our church, we split into small groups and we talk about what we're going to learn about, kind of a way to get to know those people who are sitting beside you in the congregation, and also so that it just preps us for what God has us for the day. So today, our opening question, since it's New Year's, what are some big goals that you have for your life? And I'm not talking about the, you know, I'm going to stop eating sugar for the month of January. That's awesome. If that's a big goal for you, I want to encourage you in it. But I'm talking about those lifelong goals. Well, we got Tim sitting here in the front row, and this morning we were talking about, what are you going to do once you're done school? What is your life going to be once you retire? Once this phase in your career is over, what's next? What are the big goals in your life? So go for it right now. Split into groups of six or eight people and introduce yourself. Chat about this. See what other dreams are out there. January is one of those fun times where you see it all over the internet and all kinds of places. Like, people are starting new things. They're dreaming into possibility. And I kind of like that because it fits with where we are with God. Like, every day is new. It has potential. And God gifts us with the breath of life. And we can take that and do something with it. So good for you to meet the people around you, to share a little bit deeper than just, hey, how's the weather? Throughout history, the only question bigger than how did we get here is, why are we here? And most people spend their whole life looking for their purpose. Don't you think God would have left us with more answers to our purpose in life? And let me illustrate it. When I look at my kids, I've got four girls, and sometimes I think they wake up every day and it seems like their mission in life is to cheat death, right? How many of you have had that two-year-old that can climb to the top of the bookshelf, right? Like, you come in the kitchen and they're on top of the fridge and you're like, how is this even possible? You're two. And sometimes I think, every day they wake up and they're like, today would be a great day to spend in the emergency room. So one of my goals as a parent, Tim, you and I connect well with this, right? Like, mom leaves the house and dad's left to babysit, and the idea is, if nobody gets hurt, it's a win, right? Right? And as a parent, it's that our goal is to keep that balance between safety and risk, and yet still keep them alive. So one day we were sitting down at the kitchen table, and Allison came to me. She's my youngest, and she's like, Dad, I'm going to heaven, so it doesn't matter if I die. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, what did Elizabeth send you here to talk about? Like, what kind of mission does she have for your afternoon? So obviously, I had to explain to her from a biblical and a theological worldview why there is more to the Christian life than just going to heaven. So at the dinner table, I said, well, yes, you know Jesus, and when you die, you're going to live with him and be with him forever. And that's a really good thing. But Allison, you also need to try and stay alive as long as God allows you to. And so, you know, Elizabeth's sitting there listening to it. Well, why? Do you remember all those people that we talk about in our town and around the world who still haven't met Jesus? Right, and all the missionaries, like the two we just heard about, we pray for and we support them, and they're urgently trying to tell these people about Jesus. And if every Christian right now went straight to heaven, who'd be left to tell them? And then their eyes got big, and they said, Dad, maybe we do need to stay alive. Right? Amen? Now you might not say these questions in the exact same way that my little girls do, but I think all of us want to know why we are here. Why on planet Earth are we here? Why are you here right now in this place? And what has God created and called you to do? I think we all want purpose in life. And it's not only a kid's question, right? What do you want to be when you grow up? No, it's not just a young adult question, you know, well, I'm graduating, I don't know what it, Like, this is not a find yourself kind of question. And it's not even a uniquely Christian question, what does God have for me? Even my non-Christian friends, they want to know, does my life matter? Is my life going to have meaning in this world? We all want to know that there's a purpose for everything that we do. And listen, if you know Jesus, then you're ready to die. But if you don't know your purpose, then you're not ready to live. The world has no answer for this purpose that can satisfy you. The world confuses success and purpose. They've put them as one in the same, and it's not working. I mean, just look at sports, right? Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer, he's got 23 gold medals, but he's the poster child for depression because he says, well, this doesn't satisfy my need for purpose. Or maybe look to football. Tom Brady, have you heard of him? He's running out of fingers to put Super Bowl rings on. But even Tom Brady, the incredible athlete that he is, he says, you know what? There must be more to life than this. But he doesn't know what it is. At least those guys, they're being honest with us that success doesn't equal purpose. God has answers for us about our purpose in life. We need direction, but we need something that's outside of ourselves. Let me tell you a story that happened to me a few years ago. I was a youth pastor on Vancouver Island, and we took the youth out camping. We went out on the forestry roads in the middle of Vancouver Island, and we spent a night in one of the forestry cabins. And the next day, we went exploring in the Jeep. We were climbing up a mountain. We were going up to see one of the old ski hills that had been closed for like 30 years and just go explore something in the middle of nowhere. And one of the girls, they had to go home early. Something came up. So not a problem. We all fit in the Jeep except for her and our guide who was showing us where to go. So they went. As they went away for the afternoon. Now, as our trip ended and we were coming back the mountain, we were driving down the road that we came in on. And suddenly we came to a locked gate. Someone had closed the gate and locked us in. If you've ever been on forestry roads, they design them in a way like you can't drive around because there's normally a river or a gully on each side, and they put big boulders, like I'm not going to smash my Jeep to get through the gate. I didn't have a lock cutter. Like how am I going to get out of this? Someone had locked us in. And to make it worse, we were in an area without cell service. So we had no way of contacting our guide to get different directions out or for him to come with the key. We are too far away to walk out in the freezing cold because we went in the winter. So we spent a couple of hours driving around this maze of back roads looking for a new exit. And I had a back road map book. Looking in the book, it only showed the one way out. There was no other choice but to go through that gate. No way around. And I remember it was cold and pouring rain because it's Vancouver Island in winter. It just rains and rains and rains. And there's no way to light a fire because absolutely everything was completely wet. And we had nothing to eat because we were supposed to be home at lunchtime, and it's no longer lunchtime. It's getting later and later. And you know where you have that feeling where you have no idea what else to do? Like you've tried it all? We were there the whole time, wondering what our families were thinking. And I had these teenagers with me, like, what were their moms thinking? Like, lost in the backwoods somewhere? Did they fall off a cliff? Like, what's going on? And I know my way in the bush. I'm a fairly avid outdoorsman, but we were locked behind a gate. Nothing we could do. And it was getting late. It was dark. We were around 10 o'clock at night, and we had the headlights on the Jeep. We could see the road, but it meant nothing to us. As much as we were stuck wandering around, our light, our vision, was stuck with us. It would only shine where we pointed it. We still couldn't go anywhere. Our light wasn't going to get us out of the woods. Now, you know, when it comes to people's advice, that, you know, the stuff that they give you when it comes to your direction in life, that advice people give, well, it's always backwards. They say, well, it starts with you. Start with where you're at. What's the dream in your life? What talents do you have? But that doesn't work. Right? The advice even that Christians give us, follow your dreams, follow your heart. Like, when I think about that subject, especially in the beginning of January, especially when we're talking about what's the big dream in your life, following your heart, that's probably a really bad idea. Right? That's the stuff that gets you addicted to pornography and in prison. Don't follow your heart. Christians are subtle about it. They say, well, follow your spiritual gifts. Follow your talents. What has God given you that he's created you to be and do? What ambitions has he given you? But really, at the end of the day, all of that is starting with you. And as I read through the Bible, I've noticed that it says that I am the exact wrong person to start with. Having goals is a good thing because it means that we want to live life with purpose. But sometimes our goals aren't driven by God's purposes. Instead, we think about what we want for our lives first, and then we invite and we ask God in our mission to be successful. We're thinking about our purpose backwards. God, this is what I want to do. Will you help me and bless me? But God offers us a bigger purpose for our lives, one that extends far beyond ourselves and is not determined by worldly success. Jeremiah 10:23. It says, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We're not able to plan our own course. Right? Read between the lines. It says, you don't make a good North Star for your own life. You need something outside of yourself. So that night when we're sitting in the Jeep and it's cold because we're not bothering to run the engine to go nowhere and it's just raining and foggy anyways, we had to do something. And we had to do something that I was really uncomfortable with as a leader. We had to make the call to just sit and wait. We had no choice but to park and wait for our families to wonder where we were and then send help. And of course, Lisa did. And one of the kids while we were there, they suggested, well, why don't we just use the stars? Like, I kind of annoyed at this kid. Like, I don't know, Galileo. Like, can you do that? Just look at the stars, it'll tell us where to go. Like, can anybody do that anymore? We used to live in a world where people could navigate. They could go across the ocean just based on the stars they see because they had something outside of themselves. But most people can't do that anymore. We do need something outside of us. C.S. Lewis, he said this. He found in himself a desire that nothing in this world could satisfy. And he said, I must be made for another world. I must be made for something outside of me. Do you really know that nothing in this world is going to satisfy your heart and satisfy for your need for purpose? Because nothing in this world lasts forever. But you do. You last forever. And if you last forever, then you need a story that lasts forever. And if you need a story that lasts forever, then you need an author who's everlasting. And there's only one of those. We cannot navigate the world any longer by using the stars, but lots of Christians, they've even lost their ability to navigate their lives by the scriptures. Many of us have left the Bible behind. And if you read through it, God has left us answers about what our purpose is. And for the last 20 years of my life, I've been helping Christians learn their purpose in life. And my goal and my prayer for you is this. First of all, that you, or maybe God, would turn out some of the other lights in your life. Right? Those headlights on the Jeep that were showing the road were not allowing us to see the stars in the sky. And I pray that God would turn out some of those other lights in your life. Some of those wrong lights that you would find this true North Star, this purpose for your life that God has for each of us. See, God has told us his purpose, and it's from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. And he's left us the answer for what he's up to on planet Earth. And he's even asked us to join with him in that mission. And we're going to look at a quick summary right in the middle of the Bible. God gives us one of the best summaries of his purpose for his life. It's found in Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. If you've got your Bible, open it up. This is something that God has declared for us. Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. I'm going to pause there. I want God to bless you with his grace. I want God to bless you with his grace. We need his grace. The gospel says that God already knows everything about you. He knows your sin, your failure, your brokenness, your successes, everything in between. And God has chosen to love us anyways, to forgive us based on the work of his Son. That's his saving grace for you. And the verse also says, God smile with favor on us. And remember, Psalms is talking about God as a king. When a king turns his face away, that's a bad sign. Right? Like I know it as a parent. When I shake my head and I'm embarrassed of what my kids are doing, when I turn my face away from my kids, they know that that's bad. And when God turns from his wrath and he shines his face on us, that's his grace. And the psalmist is asking God to bless us with his grace. The reality that God has blessed us. He saved us. He's also blessed you with talents and spiritual gifts. Now, that's verse 1. But verse 2 tells us why God has saved you and why God has blessed you. Verse 2 starts with, so that. May God be gracious to you and bless us and make his face shine on us so that. So that your ways may be known on earth, and your salvation among the nations. In other words, there's this global mission attached to your blessing. God has a global mission attached to why he has saved you. God has blessed his people to reach all people. Let me say that again, because it's going to be important all month, all of your life, but we're going to talk about it all month. God has blessed his people to reach all people. That's the finish line of what God is doing throughout history. It's like when we open up our map on a phone. Like, you click on the home button, there it is in the bottom corner. You've got a map on your phone. And when you open that and you're trying to find a store or some other location on the map, like, there's this blue dot. What is the blue dot? That blue dot is you. The map tells you where you are. If you use your phone and that blue dot, you found you. You didn't find your destination. See, we don't need to find ourselves. We don't need to follow our heart. What we need is a destination that's outside of us. And God has dropped a pin on this global mission. What we need to do is we need to take our finger and we need to put it on the phone to the place where we want to go, and we need to hold it there until it pops up and says, pin dropped. Then the phone becomes helpful because you know where the blue dot is, and now it's heading towards the green one. And what God has done from Genesis to Revelation is he's dropped a pin on his global worship among all nations and all peoples. That's what he's doing. So next week, what we're going to do is we're going to trace this theme. We're going to look through from Genesis to Revelation what God is doing in his mission in the world. Now, I remember being a teenager, and I had missed this idea. Right? Like, you read through the Bible, and sometimes it's confusing. It was like life is a puzzle, but this purpose in life, this one that God has given us, it's like he gave us the box top. And we can look at the puzzle of life and we can compare it to the box top that's all put together and shows us what it should be. And suddenly the entire Bible can make sense. And then in a couple of weeks, we're going to look at what is left to be done in reaching the world. What's left to be done in God's global mission. And you might be surprised to find out how much more there is to be done and how much of the world is unreached today. And then we're going to come back and we're going to look at practical ways that every believer, no matter where you live, no matter what your vocation is, every believer can be involved in this purpose that God has for us. You see, when God saves you, he not only saves your soul, he saves your purpose. When God redeemed the Apostle Paul, if we look in Acts 9, Paul not only found Jesus, but he found his purpose in life. And Paul wrote in Romans what this purpose in life was. He says, "My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard." Well, why is that Paul's ambition? Why is that his purpose? Because he knows that God has blessed his people to reach all people. And listen, God doesn't just save you out of hell, but God has saved you into a story. And my prayer for you is this, that you would be open to change, that you would be open to this invitation that God has for you to be part of his story. And it would begin to change your lives, change the way you pray, change the way you give, and maybe even change where you live. See, all throughout history, God has used men and women just like you and me to be the match that lights the fire and it lights the world when they live their life on purpose. Let me finish the story because it might speak to where you're at today. Here we are locked behind the closed gate with every other option unavailable, and we're waiting for some outside help. So it's dark and it's cold. We'd bunkered down with no other choice but to wait it out. And then suddenly, around 11 o'clock at night, some headlights appeared. But they appeared behind us. Not someone in front coming to unlock the gate. They'd come behind us. Not someone with the key and the direction that we intended to go. This was different. Our help came from behind us. Apparently, we had lost our direction. We were going the other way, and we didn't even know it. Right? The map book I was following, that road had been taken out earlier that year, and they put a new one in. And when I was following my guide in, I didn't pay attention, because we were having a party in the vehicle. We had totally lost our direction, and we were going the other way, and we didn't even know it. And apparently, as the parents began to wonder, our guide came back to find us. And here we are going our own way, facing the wrong gate. And as he led us out, we found out that we were almost there. We were only 5 minutes from the exit, almost on the highway. And we had spent the whole evening wandering, lost, doing it on our own. And the way home was just around the corner. And maybe today that's you. Maybe today you've tried every path. You've done the successes and the fame and the work and the family and the striving, and then you've now come to the locked gate and you don't know where to go. Maybe you've run out of options and now you're just sitting it out, waiting for the storm to stop, praying for help. Well, that help is here. That help comes from outside you. The Holy Spirit is here to guide you, to guide us, and to show us the way out. And all we have to do is choose to follow him. Jesus is the only way, and he's invited us on the journey with him. And if that's you sitting there today, would you hear this message? If that's you, would you be willing to raise your hand and stand out in a crowd? And if this is your first time responding to God, and this is your first time in a long time, and your life just needs that course correction, would you pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you that you are for us and not against us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your blessing us, not only with salvation, but also calling us to join you in your mission. Today, God, I give everything to you. Today, God, I choose to follow you wherever that might lead. May your name be known throughout the earth and your saving power among people everywhere. Starting with me and then reaching out to everyone I know. God, would you use us? Would you use our church? Would you use me to be the one who shares and invites? God, would you use me to be the one who leads others to know what we know now? That it doesn't start with me and my dreams and my ambitions and my talents, but instead it starts with you and your mission to seek and save the lost. God, let that be real to us and stir us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if that's you, I invite you to come talk to me afterwards or talk to one of your new friends in your little small group. And as we close, I want us to break into those groups again. I know it's almost lunchtime, but God didn't just save us out of separation from Him, right? God didn't save us only from hell. He also saved us into His story. And we've been given this great opportunity to take part in what God is doing globally. So can you break into your little groups, the same ones we started with? And here's the question I have for you. Can you brainstorm as a group some things that you can do to step into the mission God has on your life? We'll throw it up on the screen and talk about this because God has given you a purpose. And maybe we just need some ideas and some stirring and some wonderful friends to say, hey, let's do this together. Amen? Amen. Go for it right now. Break into your groups.